Welcome back. You're listening to Horizons on Radio Kerry, and I'm looking at the significant music to Sean Lyons through the years, the signposts of his life, the markers along the way. What have you got now for us, Sean?
Another place that I spent some time was Australia. We lived there for 7 years. Fantastic time, great experience and so on. So there's a song called The Green Among the Gold, and it's about the contribution that the Irish made to Australia. And I think it's important in these times when there's immigration to Ireland that we should be aware of all the immigration that was from Ireland and people who went far away. Like, I went in 1988 to Australia. It was pre-internet days. So once you went, that was it. So it was like Tesco. Once you were gone, you were gone. Like, there were so many Irish people there, so many people of Irish descent. They had carved out good lives. They were appreciative of what they had. And at the same time, they held on to their own culture. I was living in a place called Wollongong. The area was known as, well, it is called the Illawarra. That was like the province, if you like. And there was a group called the Illawarra Irish. And we used to get together very regularly and have bacon and cabbage nights.
Delicious.
Lovely. People would come, they'd be of a certain age. Now, we were among the younger people there. Now, bearing in mind it was 36 years ago. You know, they'd cook this beautiful bacon, shoulder bacon or knuckle bacon, I forget which. Big flowery spuds and cabbage. And we'd sit around chatting and people would go up and sing a song and tell a story. And it was just magical. It was absolutely magical. And we'd end the night, we'd sing the national anthem, our own of Ian, and then run into the Australian national anthem, Advance Australia Fair. So there was an incredible sense of being, you're Irish, but also that you were in this foreign country, a country of incredible opportunity. And I certainly had great opportunities there. I was in some interesting jobs, not the easiest of jobs.
What was the most interesting?
The most interesting was I spent 2 years working in child protection and I was investigating allegations of abuse. And because of my background, I was investigating particularly any allegations that were made against children with special needs. So it could be very, very disturbing. We learned a lot about human life. I met some people who were, you know, being judgmental about them. They were the absolute dregs. But at the same time, I did some good, I think. You know, I took some kids, admittedly, I took some kids from families where the circumstances were terrible. But the integrity of the family unit was what was drilled into us. And there was one particular, it was the day before Christmas Eve. And I was in the office and my first stop, I went up to a centre, a shelter. And even then, I was often asked to step in for Santa Claus if he couldn't make it.
Santa Claus, even in Australia?
Even in Australia, at 9 o'clock in the morning.
What a CV, Sean.
And there were these little kids, and I remember there was one little boy, his arm was in a cast because of the violence that had been inflicted on him. You know, there were kids with black eyes and their mothers were, you know, traumatised people. But as I said, I stood in for Santa Claus and did my best to spread a little bit of cheer. My next call, I had to go to a hospital and remove a 5-day-old baby because the mother had massive problems with drugs. But on the way, I stopped off at a funeral. There was one of the Illawarra Irish, Joe, from Tyrone, had died, and I was asked to give the eulogy in the church. And then I went out to the hospital, and I remember vividly, the day before Christmas Eve, bringing in the little baby capsule and then taking the baby away. And I went back to the office, and the manager said to me, she said, "You've had a tough morning, mate. I think you should go home." So I went home, but about 6 months later, I was in the office and the man on reception said there was a call for the Irish guy, and I was the only Irish man there. So I took it, and it was the mother of the child that I had taken. And she said, you know, when that happened last Christmas, she says, "I hated you more than I ever hated anybody. But," she said, "it made me realise that I had a choice to make in my life." So she said, "I decided then that I was going to change. I've been completely clean of drugs for the last 6 months." She says, "I'm going to counselling." She says, "I'm hoping to go back to college. I'm hoping to get a council house and start all over again, and I'm going to fight tooth and nail to get my baby back.
Fabulous.
And I said, well, if you get to that stage, I said, I will be the happiest man. I will go with you and we will bring your child back. Now, I was transferred, so I don't know if that ever did happen. Well, I still look on that as one of the most fulfilling moments of 40 odd years working in various jobs around the world. You know, the fact that one woman was able to make that decision because of this awful action that I had to take in taking away her 5-day-old baby.
A great memory.
Mm.
So the song, who is it?
Sean Keane, The Green Among the Gold.
Rusty plains and iron chains met heaven, sons and daughters, cast upon a barren land, a far-off fatal shore. They dreamed of misty mountains in their home across the water. They sang of Connemara and a home that seemed no more. Now limestone walls are all that's left of kinds of pain and failure. This country yields the secrets of the beauty that it holds. And the tunes of Erin's Isle are now the music of Australia. For Irish hands have woven strands of green among the gold. And so beneath the Southern Cross they sang their songs of Ireland. They sent her sons and daughters there in the hungry days of old. They played their jigs and reels beneath the skies of their new homeland. For Irish hands have woven strands of green among the gold.
I'm chatting to Sean Lyons and we're looking at the big music markers along the way. What have you got next, Sean?
I've always been a fan of the musicals. I love the musicals. Growing up across the road from the cinema in Castlebar.
I love them too.
I used to love Oklahoma, The Sound of Music, South Pacific. And the more recent musicals, like Les Mis. I absolutely love Les Mis. And my daughter is now, says the proud father, working in the West End.
Very nice.
So we've been going back and forward now to musicals. The song in Les Mis, Bring Him Home, I had the pleasure of seeing Colin Wilkinson. I've seen the show about half a dozen times.
He's brilliant.
It's just his voice, but also the lyrics of it, because I still consider myself a religious person. I like to think that I do the best I can, and I think there's a great sense of faith in the song, just asking God, you know, to bring him home. He's like the son I might have known if you had granted me a son. And it's just such a powerful, powerful song, and the way Colin Wilkinson holds the last note is incredible. I've been involved in theatre myself on stage for years. People tell me I can sing. I can sing, but I can't hold a note. Like I vary. You know. I remember singing at the pantomime in Castlebar years ago, and the conductor of the orchestra, Tom Burke, and one of those gifted musical individuals, I sang a song, and we were having a drink afterwards, myself and some of the orchestra. One of them said to me, "What key was that song in?" And one of the other lads said, "Which verse are we talking about?"
Several different keys.
And somebody else said, "Which line?" And Tom said, "Which word?"
Oh.
So
it didn't stop you though, did it?
It didn't. I'd be forever grateful, I have to say, to Grand York Carol and the Light Opera Society of Tralee. They gave me one of the lead roles in The Little Shop of Horrors. I was Mr. Mushnick.
Very good.
And I sang in public on stage for the first and only time in my life, other than the pantomime where the orchestra all cried when I was singing. But I just love the musicals, and I've been in a few actually with Loss now. We did Sweeney Todd. I was the keeper of the asylum, the Phantom. We did the Phantom recently, and I was very ironically, I was the conductor.
Oh, very good.
And I had to correct Aidan O'Carroll, the actual conductor, from the stage.
Oh, yes. Yes. So excellent.
That's something I never thought.
Absolutely.
I never thought
great.
Would happen. So I love the musicals, and I love Les Mis. It's one of my favourites. But Cullen Wilkinson's voice, there's a purity and I think almost an angelic tone to it.
I agree. Let's have a listen.
God on high, hear my prayer. In my need, you have always been there. He is near. He's afraid. Let him rest. Heaven blessed. Bring him up. Bring him up. Bring him up. He's like the sun I might have known. If God had granted me a son, the summers die one by one. How soon they fly on and on. And I am old and will be gone. Bring
fantastic, Sean. Where are we now?
With your indulgence, we'll go back to Mayo, if you don't mind.
Back to Mayo.
Take me home to Mayo. The hymn, Our Lady of Knock, it's a very personal one, very close personal favourite of not just myself, but my extended family.
Good choice. Yesterday was the diocesan pilgrimage to Knock.
My mother was one of 10. She had 8 sisters and her brother John. And this song has been sung at every funeral of my aunts and my Uncle John. My Auntie Josie, the most recent of my mother's sisters to pass away. Josie was a wonderful, wonderful woman. She emigrated to England when she was 17 and came back, I think it was 50 years later, and lived in Knock, herself and Frank, the husband. And the priest who was celebrating Josie's funeral mass, he said that when he went to see her in the hospice 3 days previously, she said she had 2 requests and 2 requests only for her funeral. And one was that nobody would get up on the altar and say what a wonderful woman she was. She didn't want any of that. And she wanted Our Lady of Knock to be sung as she was leaving the church. So they were her only 2 requests.
Very, very clear.
My Auntie Maura, another of my mother's late sisters, she lived up in Monaghan and she married a man called McKenna from Tyrone, from the musical McKennas. So whereas my side of the family weren't blessed with with the voices for the musicals or whatever, my cousins have all beautiful, sweet voices. And I remember vividly the day my mother was being buried in Brafey Graveyard and my cousin Bernie standing there singing Our Lady of Knock. And every time I hear it, it just reminds me so much of my mother, her sisters. And my great-grandmother was born in 1862. So she was 17 when the apparition took place in Knock. And when word got to the farm in a little townland called Carra, when word got to Carra about the apparition in Knock, my great-grandmother and a couple of her friends, it was about a 20-mile walk, they walked to Knock and they were there about a week after the apparition. Now, I remember her vaguely. She wanted to live to be 100, but she died in 1958. So she almost made it. She was only a few years out.
Nearly.
And actually, my Auntie Maura that I mentioned earlier, she wanted to get to the same age as her grandmother.
Great competition.
Great competition. And she actually got there. She lived to be 96 as well. But Our Lady of Knock, Knock is a very special place for everybody. Like when we were kids, we'd go on pilgrimage. There wasn't an awful lot of piety on the train from Castlebar to Claremorris and the bus for the rest of the way. But in later years then, when I'd go up home to visit, when I came back to Ireland, my mother had a couple of places that she wanted to go. And one of those was to evening mass in the small chapel, the Chapel of the Apparition. Like the Basilica is beautiful, but she loved the Chapel
small
of the Apparition.
Chapel.
Yeah. Mm. And the parish priest there at one stage was Joe Quinn, Father Joe from Castlebar. Lovely, lovely man. When he was a parish priest in Knock, which is quite prestigious, as you can imagine, he was famous because he kept cattle. And he used to go to the Martin Bell and he'd be there with the clerical collar and a pair of Wellingtons and a stick and trying to hide a cigarette when he was around the back of the mart. You know.
The poor man.
But poor Father Joe, now he died young. But one Good Friday, I had my mother there and she wanted confessions. She did the first Tuesdays for something like 78 years.
Wow.
And she had her confessions on Friday for whatever number of years. But there's no confessions on Good Friday. She insisted, and Father Joe was walking across to the Basilica in all his finery. And she called him over and told him he was going to hear her confessions. So he took her around the side of one of the statues and heard her confessions.
Excellent.
So I have lovely memories of Knock, and it's a very important place for us.
And the version that we listen to now is our own John Kinsler from Listowel Folk Group singing Lady of Knock.
There were people of all ages gathered round the gable wall, poor and humble men and women, little children that you would call. We are gathered here before you, and our hearts are just the same, filled with joy at such a vision as we praise your name. Golden Rose, we
I'm in conversation with Sean Lyons. We'll take a short break now, come back to us after the break.